glory to God. So in God's word, in Genesis, there's this story where Jacob and Esau and their father Isaac, Jacob is sent out as a, he's supposed to go to his father's homeland, Haran. And as he's traveling, he goes to sleep, and it says he has this dream that's from the Lord. And in this dream, God shows him this incredible vision. He says there is this ladder that stretches into heaven, and the angels were ascending and descending from this ladder. And in this dream, God speaks to Jacob, and he says all of these powerful things of the promise that he had for his life and all of these ways he was going to work through him and his family. And Jacob wakes from this dream. Listen to God's word here as Jacob awakes. Listen to what he says. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." That's my prayer for us today. The Lord is in this place. And did we come in and we didn't know it? And we just came in like any other Sunday, and the Lord was in this place. Let's pray and ask God that he would be speaking those words of life to us. God, we come in today. Lord, maybe we didn't know. Maybe we were just kind of like any other Sunday, Lord. But you are in this place. Lord, you are ministering to us. Lord, your heart is for us. Your word, you are speaking to us. Your promise, your love because of Christ. And Lord, we come in today. And we want to hear from you. We want to be encouraged. Like Jacob was encouraged and said, "The Lord is in this place. Surely the Lord is in this place." God, we rejoice. We want to be with you. We pray, God, you would be honored, that you would be speaking as we gather in your name today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You may be seated. Almost took out the drums there. My apologies, Andrew. All right, well, welcome to Radiant Church. So good to have all of you here with us. If you're new, let me introduce myself. Mark Fowler, one of the pastors here at Radiant, and on behalf of the team here at Radiant, we're so glad that you have joined us. We're loving that it's on a Sunday here in the middle of summer. Get a little summer break. So glad that you chose to spend your Sunday here together with us, worshiping the Lord on the Lord's Day. So thanks for being here. When you came in, hopefully you got a welcome bag, and in there is a card. And if you could fill that out, we'd love to just get connected with you, let you know more about some of the things that are happening here at Radiant Church, to give you an opportunity to get connected with, plugged in here with the life of our church. So thank you for being with us. Also, as part of our worship today, we're actually wanting to worship the Lord through giving. And this is an incredible blessing that we have, that God, not only has he provided for us Christ in forgiveness and reconciliation with himself, but he provides all things, life, breath, every bit of provision that we have, all of the money and things and shelter and clothes, everything that we have is because of his abundance towards us, his provision. We are but stewards. And so as we give, we get a chance to say, "God, I know who my source is, and I trust you." And that's where giving is an expression of that trust and saying, "God, I put my hope not in this bank account that I have. I put my hope in you. I trust in you." And so as an expression of that, we'd love to be a part of that here at Radiant. You can actually give to Radiant Church here as your local church doing this work in our community here in Alpharetta, Cumming, Johns Creek. So you can give through two ways. There's an offering box back at the welcome table as you came in, and you can also give online at radiantchurchga.com. And we're thankful for you joining with us in this work of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. God, we ask that you would bless, Lord, as we give to you. Lord, I pray it would just be an expression of our trust, Lord, that we know that you are for us, You provide all things for us. And Lord, do that specifically in this work of giving, Lord, that we would see your hand just as we see in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, hey, just a couple of announcements here is before we dismiss for kids. So the first thing is we have coming up our kickoff prayer night, July 17th, and I believe that's 6:30 p.m. Is that right? Seven. Okay. I can't quite, the angle here is just a little tricky. So July 17th, that's a Wednesday at 7 p.m., and that's going to be a great time. So, you know, we're getting ready for this August as kind of our grand opening, welcoming our community to come in and see this building. And so we as a church are going to be using this prayer night as a chance to kind of, seek the Lord, pray for this season that we have as a church, and ask him to bless our work, our ministry, as well as just what's coming this summer for us as a church. So we'd love for you to join us. That'll be a church-wide prayer night. So if you can make it, we'd love to have you right here on Wednesday, July 17th. Secondly, we are kicking off today a very special program called Who's Your One? So Who's Your One? Everyone should have your bulletin. Hold this up if you guys got a bulletin and got one of these bookmarks. So this bookmark is pretty cool. It has a little tear-off portion here that you can actually tear off and fill out the name of somebody that you are praying for, somebody that you want to see come to Christ, somebody that you want to see to have an encounter with God. And, many times when I think about evangelism and sharing Christ and people that I see around me in my life, a lot of times, I'm guilty of, I kind of have this very extreme view of people who need a prayer like this. They're like, the lost of the lost that live in some foreign, crazy, faraway place. They've never even heard the name of Jesus. And those are the people that are the handful of people that haven't yet heard and come to Christ. But I want you to think bigger of what God is doing. There's so many people in our city that are, they've heard, they know, if you ask them who is Jesus, they are not going to be caught off guard by that question. They know about religion and Jesus, but they don't know him. They have no relationship with him. They do not know God. And that is my encouragement to you is who is it that needs to see God working in their life? Who do you see around you that it's like, I want to see them come to know God? And this is a chance that we have to be praying as a church together for those. So, this is a chance for you to be praying about that. And so my request for you is think about that this week. Who is somebody that you look around in your life and you say, I want to be praying for them, that God would be doing a work to bring them to himself in this season? Can you guys agree with me to kind of be praying about that this week? Now, once you do, we're actually, as a church, we're going to be actually putting these all together. We're going to write the name, and we're going to put it on this pegboard out in the hallway. So as you guys are thinking and praying about this, we're all going to be doing that together and putting those names up in the hallway. Now, if some are too sensitive and you don't want to, too much publicity, of course, we understand. We're not going to go around auditing each chair for, these tags. But if you guys want to join with us, we'd love to just be joining you as a pastoral team and praying for those who are, just are the one that we seek. God, please work in their lives. Amen. Okay, well, finally, I am excited to introduce to you today our preacher is Michael O'Neill. Michael, could you wave to the congregation? So can we just clap and just welcome Michael? Michael is the, make sure I get this right here, he is the evangelism and missions pastor at First Baptist of Cumming, and he has been, the church, and Michael in particular, has been a great friend to Radiant through all of this season of building and even, you know, where we are today in this building and in the, as a church. So Michael's going to be sharing from God's word today when we return. So Michael, thank you so much for being here. So excited for your message that the Lord has for you to share with us today. Okay, well, that's it for the announcement. So let's take a few minutes to take the kids back to Radiant Kids. And then when we, the rest of us that are in here, if you could turn and say hello to somebody sitting next to you. We have a very special guest going to read our scripture for us. Can we welcome Charlie up here? All right.
Hello, I'm Charlie, and today we are going to be reading Acts 8, 1 through 8. It says, "And Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on that day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him. But Saul was ravaging through the church and entering house after house. He dragged off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ. And the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he did, for unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who had them, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city." This is the word of the Lord.
All right, good morning, everybody. So good to be back with you all. First time worshiping with you all here in this new building. This is amazing. I'm so excited for you all. Keith took me on a walkthrough about two and a half months ago, and it did not look like this at that time. But man, this is so nice. I can't wait to walk. I haven't walked through the rest of it yet today, but really excited for you all. So encouraged by what God's doing in and through Radiant Church. Love Keith, and he texted me this morning and that he was praying for me, and so just a great friend, and really grateful for the work that the Lord's doing in and through his leadership here and through your team. And so just good to be back here worshiping with you all. The last time I preached at Radiant Church, of course, we're meeting in the other space, and there were SpongeBob props all around me. And so I'm a little disappointed, you know, that there are no SpongeBob props. But no, this is great. This looks great. And so glad to be here. Thank you for having me and inviting me as well. This earlier this year, 37 members of First Baptist Coming went on a Sunday morning to worship with Pinecrest Church in Gainesville to celebrate something very special. They were celebrating the baptism of Dave Pettit. All right, now let me tell you about Dave. Dave's wife, Kathy. Kathy had been praying for Dave and others. Kathy's friend, Kathy had been a member of our church for many years. She and others had been praying for Dave for 25 years that Dave would decide to follow Jesus. 25 years. They did not give up praying for Dave. They did not give up showing and sharing the love of Jesus to Dave. Mickey Kaysen, who has been a member of our church as well for many years, recently left our church to become pastor of Pinecrest Church in Gainesville. And so Mickey never gave up on Dave. And Mickey poured into his life and shared the gospel over and over with Dave. And so just earlier this year, Mickey had the privilege and joy of baptizing Dave Pettit, and 37 members of our church had the privilege and joy of watching Dave go public with his faith through baptism. And I just, it's so exciting to share stories like that, hear stories like that, and to see stories like that. So I wanted you to just watch the baptism of Dave.
We ask you to be with us in prayer and support as we encourage Dave through this process. Dave, who's your Lord?
Jesus.
Being in obedience to the command of our Lord and Savior, that upon your confession of faith, I baptize you, my Christian brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Woo!
Now that's what it's all about. You're kicking off Hoosier One, and they spent 25 years praying for Dave. And Dave finally put his trust in the Lord. God sends us out into this broken world to be his witnesses, and there are Dave Pettits all around us. And there are potential disciples all around us who are broken and in need of hope that only Jesus can give. I love what writer, scholar Ed Stetzer says. Listen to this. He says, the world is broken. Most people, Christian or not, have at least some degree of consensus that the human condition is not heading in the right direction. You agree with that? People can see that clearly and often feel that brokenness tangibly in their own lives. If we desire to reach these up-and-coming generations with the gospel, now look at this, we must actively and passionately prioritize evangelism. Evangelism is the sharing of our faith, the sharing of Jesus, of the good news about Jesus. But the tools and methods do change, so it must be an evangelism with timely methods, carrying the timeless message that God's redemptive plan, what's that redemptive plan? Through the death and resurrection of Jesus the Messiah, is to take this human brokenness and make it whole once more. And so for those of us who are followers of Jesus, which I'm sure most of us in the room are, we have been changed by Jesus, right? And so now, as long as we're still breathing, and everybody here is still breathing, right? Good. Then we have this awesome privilege and joy of sharing Jesus in our broken world. And this is an amazing opportunity if we will make sharing Jesus a priority. If sharing Jesus is a priority for us, then we will see broken people reconciled to God. Do you believe that? If we will make sharing Jesus a priority, then we will see our broken families around us restored. If sharing Jesus is a priority for us, then we will see our broken city, community, neighborhoods transformed by the gospel. If we will make sharing Jesus a priority, we will see, could see, our broken nation changed. Does our broken nation need to be changed? Yes. If we will make sharing Jesus a priority, we will see our broken world turned upside down. And so what I want to do this morning, especially as you kick off this Hoosier One emphasis, I want us to look at the example of the earliest Christians and the earliest church, because what they believed about Jesus and his God-given mission for them compelled them, motivated them to tell others about Jesus. Their beliefs drove their behavior. And that's the case with all of us, whatever, right or wrong, good or bad, what we believe drives our behavior. And so what we're going to look at today in Acts 8 is this example of the earliest Christians, what they believed, the four key beliefs here in this passage. And these four key beliefs will motivate us to make sharing Jesus a priority. And so what I want us to do today is leave here, all of us leave here, more excited, more passionate, more motivated to share Jesus with people wherever we go. All right, that's the goal. All right, so let's dig into Acts chapter 8, starting with verse 1. And just a little context here. It's right after the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr. And so Stephen shared his faith boldly. The religious leaders of the day turned against him, stoned him to death. His death led to persecution against the church. And so on that exciting note, let's go to verse 1 in chapter 8. On that day, a severe persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout the land of Judea and Samaria. Devout men buried Stephen and mourned deeply over him. Saul, now Saul is who? Who did Saul become? Yeah, after Jesus turned his life around, changed his life, Saul became Paul, and Paul ended up being, next to Jesus, the greatest missionary in the history of the world, writing much of the New Testament. this is the same guy before Jesus had changed his life. So Saul, however, was ravaging the church. He would enter house after house, drag off men and women, and put them in prison. Let's pause there. So right before Jesus ascended into heaven, he told his disciples that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so God was so committed to using his people to be his witnesses and accomplish this mission, he even used persecution to scatter them out from Jerusalem. Now the question is, what did they do once they were scattered? Did they seek shelter and hunker down in their Christian bubble? Did they organize a protest? Did they lash out against culture? Let's look. Verse 4. But the believers who were scattered, again, scattered by God, this is all part of God's design, God's plan, were scattered. They preached. In the Greek, it's literally the word evangelize. They preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. So here's key belief number one. This may be in your notes, but if not, you can write these down. So I encourage you to write these down if they're not in your notes. Belief number one, every believer is a preacher. Every believer is a preacher. When I was a kid, I don't know if this is your background, but when I was a kid, I understood preacher and pastor to be interchangeable terms. Like, I just thought they were the same thing. But that's not biblical. If you have surrendered your life to Jesus, then you are a preacher. You're an evangelist. You're a witness wherever you go, in the home, in the school, in the neighborhood, in the workplace, wherever you go. What does God want us to preach? Let's look again at verse 4. But the believers who were scattered preached politics wherever they went. Now, not the right version, is it, huh? All right, let's try it again. Next one. But the believers who were scattered preached the American dream wherever they went. Now, the big difference between the American dream and the gospel, isn't it? All right, let's try it again. But the believers who were scattered preached good works wherever they went. Does good works make us right with God? No. So that's not what they preached. Here's Acts 4 again. But the believers who were scattered preached good news about Jesus wherever they went. Every believer is a preacher of the good news about Jesus. Now, what's the good news? It's that God created us, made us to know him, to love him, to treasure him, to serve him, to worship him, to be friends with him, to be in a relationship with him. That's why we were created, to live for his glory. Bad news is, we're all sinners, we've all rebelled against God, and that sin deserves punishment, and we are separated from God as a result of that sin. Good news is, even though he didn't have to, out of his grace and mercy, God loved us so much, he sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die in our place, to come up out of the grave, to prove that he really is who he says he is, so that all who believe, who surrender, who trust, who repent, can have peace with God, purpose in life, and a place in heaven. That's the good news. Stated another way in 7 seconds, okay, so you can remember it. God made, I sinned, Jesus died, I decide. All right, so let's do this together, all right? You're going to repeat after me. God made, I sin, Jesus died, I decide. A little rhythm here now, okay? Here we go. God made, I sin, Jesus died, I decide. One more time. God made, I sin, Jesus died, I decide. Very good. Hey, any and every believer can preach that good news. And if you see yourself as a preacher, then you will make sharing Jesus a priority. In fact, your whole life will be one big fat mission trip for the glory of God. That's belief number one. Every believer is a preacher. Belief number two, Jesus does not discriminate. Luke, the author of Acts, then wrote about Philip as someone who took God's mission seriously and made it a priority to share Jesus wherever he went. So look at the example of Philip. Verse 5, Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Messiah to them. So it's important, let's pause there. We have to understand this. Samaritans were a racially mixed group of partly Jewish and partly Gentile ancestry, not accepted by either Jews or non-Jews. So there was a lot of hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans, but here was Philip, a Jewish Christian, sharing Jesus with a Samaritan. It's like he learned that from Jesus or something, you know? He's following the way of his master. Jesus breaks down barriers, offering peace with God, offering purpose in life, offering eternal life to all who will surrender to him. And so if we really believe this, that Jesus does not discriminate, then sharing Jesus will be a priority for us, and we will share Jesus with all, regardless of culture or background or faith. Belief number three, showing and sharing the love of Jesus work together. Showing and sharing. It's like when you were a kid, did you do like show and tell in class? I did that. Do you know what I'm talking about with show and tell? So we're all supposed to be show and tell followers of Jesus. They work together, showing and telling, showing and sharing. Verses 6 and 7, let's look at Acts 8 again. The crowds were all paying attention to what Philip said as they what? Listened and saw the signs he was performing. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Yes, others listened to Philip's good news, but they also saw Philip's good works. And so, yes, Philip shared the love of Jesus, but he also showed the love of Jesus. Showing often, doesn't always, doesn't have to, but showing often opens the door to sharing. And so showing and sharing the love of Jesus work together to advance God's mission. As we show the love of Jesus to meet real needs, we also share the love of Jesus to meet people's greatest need, which is reconciliation with God, forgiveness from sin, and a relationship with God. And so I thought this would be helpful. It is for me. When I think about how do I personally show and share the love of Jesus with others around me, there's somebody, I don't even know who came up with this. There is a book about called Bless by Dave Ferguson, a pastor in Chicago. So I don't think he came up with it, but there is a book, a resource about this. But these letters, B-L-E-S-S, really helped me think through, okay, how can I intentionally show and share the love of Jesus wherever I go? And as even you think about who's your one, who is at least one person you're praying for and you're seeking to show and share the love of Jesus with, maybe this acronym will help as well. So let's look at these letters, B-L-E-S-S. Can you, yeah, there we go. So be in prayer. Just thinking about, okay, who am I praying for? Because God has to work in their lives, in their hearts. God has to open their hearts to the gospel. L is listen. Listen with care. You want to listen to who they are, what their story is. And as you listen, you learn about their needs. And you learn about where they are in their faith journey. E is eat with others. How many will eat today at some point? Yeah, a few of you. I'm a little concerned. Okay, maybe everybody's fasting. That's great. Okay. At some point, you will have to eat. But why not? I mean, I'm not saying every meal, but why not take what you do in the daily rhythm of life and invite others who don't know Jesus into that rhythm. And so you're eating with them and connecting with them. S is serving love. Again, as you're doing all these other habits, you're knowing their needs and how to meet their needs. And then, of course, S, okay, we're not just going to serve. We're going to share. We're not going to show. We're going to share our story about who Jesus is, what he's done in our lives, how he's changed our lives, what he did on the cross, how he came up out of the grave, and how he can offer eternal life to all who believe. So that helps me think through, okay, how can I be intentional? It may just be one habit a day. It may just be I pray for that person that day. But let me give you an example of something that happened recently. In the last year, there's a Turkish Muslim family who moved into our neighborhood. So they moved in before the holidays this past year. So for Christmas, my wife and I always host a Christmas brunch for our neighbors, again, as a way to bless our neighbors. And so this Turkish Muslim family came to our house and spent the morning with us, and we had a chance to connect. And there's something about showing hospitality, right, and having people in your homes and at least being able to connect in that informal environment. And so we were able to do that. And so once we did that, obviously I just began praying for Hussein and his family and trying to stay connected and sharing contact information. And when Ramadan came around in March, Ramadan happened in March this year, they invited us over to their house to break fast with them, fellowship with them, just eat with them. Well, over the course of the evening, spending the evening in their home at their dining table, it happened to be on the Saturday night before Easter. And so they began to ask about Easter. And Hussein asked me, hey, will you tell me a little bit about what Easter's about? Well, yeah, of course I will. And so I just began to share about Easter. What is Easter about? What's the death of Jesus about? What's the resurrection about? How the death and resurrection has changed my life. I mean, you talk about an open door. My goodness. So we have to trust God to use our intentional witness, our showing and sharing the love of Jesus to make a difference in the lives around us. And so as witnesses of Jesus, our responsibility, listen, we cannot change people. We cannot save people. That's not our job. We befriend others, we bless others, and we trust God to do the rest and do what only he can do. It really takes the pressure off, doesn't it? So we befriend, bless, let God do the rest. Befriend, bless, let God do the rest. Befriend, bless, let God do the rest. That's belief number three. Showing and sharing work together. Now, finally, number four. Jesus changes lives. Just what I was saying. We don't change lives. Jesus changes lives. Let's all read Acts 8:8 together, okay? Let's all read this out loud together. Acts 8, verse 8. Here we go. Everybody together, out loud. So there was great joy in that city. I love that verse. The people in that city responded to the good news about Jesus, and Jesus changed their lives. Jesus worked through Philip's witness to bring great joy to the people of that city. Do you believe that Jesus can change anyone? Do you believe that Jesus can change your family? Do you believe that Jesus can change your neighborhood? Do you believe that Jesus can change your coworkers? Do you believe that Jesus can change our city? Do you believe that Jesus can change our country? Do you believe that Jesus can change our world? Yes, I know you do. I do. We must believe this. If we really believe that Jesus changes lives, and we do, then sharing Jesus will be a priority. And because Jesus changes lives, we can live on mission every day. After Jesus rose from the dead, before he ascended into heaven, he gathered his followers, had a little huddle here, and he gave them an important mission. Here's what he said in Luke 24. Jesus said, yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written, he said, that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So our risen Savior has given us a mission with a message. What is the mission? Well, where is the mission? It's to live on mission. It's to, wherever we go, be his representatives and his witnesses. Wherever we go. What's the message? That there is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. So again, thinking visually, I'm a visual person. And so think about living on mission wherever you go. All right, I want you to look at these, what maybe we call circles of life, right? Home, neighborhood, workplace, school, city, world. That covers just about everywhere we go. What would it look like for you to live on mission in all those arenas? Now, some of you maybe not be in school, I understand that. But what would it look like for you to be intentional about being a witness for Jesus in all those areas? Because God is at work, whether you believe it or not, God is at work in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our cities, in our world. Again, a great example this week. I was so encouraged by this. So there's a girl that lives four houses down from us. Her name's Savannah. She'll be in the third grade this year. She's been asking her parents about what it means to follow Jesus. Because she's been hearing about the gospel from just different people, from her parents probably, but also from different things that she's been doing this summer. Vacation Bible school at our church, other things. She doesn't even go to our church, but she did for Vacation Bible school. So she's hearing the good news about Jesus, and she's starting to ask questions. And so her parents text me and say, hey, we're trying to answer those questions, and we're talking with her, but we would like for you to talk with her as well. And so Savannah and her dad came into our house, sat at our dining room table Wednesday afternoon. And I just talked to her. I just talked to her about God made, I sinned, Jesus died, I decided. I taught her the little saying, went through all those things and went through what the Bible said. She brought her new Bible that she got, and we read some verses together. And I mean, when all was said and done, she is ready to follow Jesus. And I was so excited about how God is at work in her life. And I got to thinking, and it really was in some ways convicting to me, like, do I really believe that God is at work in the houses and the families around me? And if I do, how would that change the way I pray for them and reach out to them and connect with them on a regular basis? That's a key belief for us. We have to believe that Jesus changes lives. Research shows, at least in our area of Forsyth County, this is right, like North Fulton, right on the border, right? So it probably wouldn't be any different, but here's what research shows where we live. This is Forsyth County. Close to 200,000 people in Forsyth County who are not actively involved in a church or a faith organization. I mean, that's hard to believe, but that's, let's say it's even off a little bit, that's still a lot of people. Research shows that there are 280 million people in North America who do not have a relationship with Jesus. Research also shows that there are over 4 billion, with a B as in boy, billion people around the world who do not yet follow Jesus and know Jesus and have a relationship with Jesus. Now, look, I'm not a math guy, but you and I know that there are not enough professional pastors in our community, in our nation, or in our world who can share the good news about Jesus with that many people. They're just not. That's a fact. But there are tens of thousands of Christ followers in our area of Atlanta who can share the good news. And there are hundreds of millions of Christ followers around the world who can share the good news of Jesus. So what if we all believed that every believer is a preacher? What if we all believed, really believed, that Jesus does not discriminate? What if we all really believed that showing and sharing the love of Jesus worked together to accomplish the mission of God? And what if we all really believed that we don't change lives, only Jesus can change people's lives? If we embraced those beliefs, if we will hold tightly to those beliefs, then don't you think more people in our community will hear about Jesus? More people around the world will hear about Jesus. And by God's grace and power, potentially, hundreds, if not thousands, of people in this area, just within a few miles of this building right here, could respond to the good news of Jesus and start following Jesus. And potentially, millions around the world could surrender their lives to the lordship of King Jesus and have what we have: peace with God, purpose in this life, and a place in heaven. Now that's exciting to think about. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness to us and what you've done for us. And we know you've blessed us with the good news of Jesus. And so, God, work through us to be a blessing to others as we seek to pray for and invest in and show the love of Jesus with those around us. Help us, God, to live on mission wherever we go, and use us to advance your kingdom here and around the world. I pray for this Hoosier One focus that Radiant Church is doing, and I pray, God, that everyone would have their one and would pray for their one, and we'd be committed to share the good news of Jesus with their one. And in faith, God, we look forward to how you're going to work through the witness of the members of Radiant Church in the months and years to come. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. I know we have another song. I'm just going to stand over here to the side, and Mark, you stand up here as well. So during this last song, think about what next step that you need to take. It may be, probably for most of you, it may be to write that name down of your one, right, and begin praying. That's my, I already wrote down the name of my one. I'm going to see him Thursday, and I'm praying for him. But your next step may be to respond to the good news of Jesus for the first time and surrender your life to follow Jesus for the very first time. And so we would love, Mark or I or anybody who's a member here, would love to talk with you about what that means. Or maybe it's to be baptized. Maybe it's to become a member of this church. But whatever your next step is, just be obedient to what God is calling you and leading you to do. But Mark and I will be up front if you want to pray about anything or if you want to talk about your next step of faith.
The stand.